Welcome to That Pixel Life. This is episode 127, recording February 13th, 2021. My name is Zach Anderson, and this week we are discussing Wii U games, Mountain Dew, graffiti, injuries, bodily harm. All of that is getting discussed, plus some release dates, internet chicanery, just chicanery on multiple levels. We'll get into it in a second. But first, joining me, as always, is Mr. Shannon Time Zones Moore. Shannon, how you doing?
Dude, I didn't even throw out that text message. That was Justin. That was just like, is that 4 o'clock my time? Yeah, it is 4 o'clock your time. Like, I feel persecuted, but I do want to...
Well, because that wasn't the response you gave. The response you gave was, either of those times work for me. Which
okay, so you can't blame that on me. That is just text messaging in general, like just the sheer, you know, I mean, like you have multiple people in a thread.
Was that supposed to be a sarcasm font and I missed it? Is that
no? It was. I sent two of them at the same time, but like I was in a toilet space that didn't have like good reception, so it didn't go through when I wanted to initially send it because I was gonna send you the like, you know, like I'm down. Either time works good. It was supposed to be like 1-2, but like I guess you guys got it later because for some reason my iPhone didn't want to send the message.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, the other person on this call is Justin. How does time work in Arizona, Carter?
I know, Justin, dude. After listening to that, I was like, Shannon should have been Shannon. Here's a list of fucking excuses more.
I just want to say ahead of time, I'm glad that you guys decided to record today instead of tomorrow, which is Valentine's Day, of course, because both of you, you know, have been with your significant others for a long amount of time and, you know, romance is dead in your guys' relationship. So like, you know, with me, it gives me a sporting chance to, you know, be with my new girlfriend and celebrate Valentine's Day.
Yeah, no, my Valentine's Day is going to be, a bunch of my son's friends showing up over here and trying to keep them socially distanced, yet shooting Nerf guns at each other. It's stupid. And that's what I'm spending my day on. So. Happy Valentine's Day. Yeah, it's good times.
Justin, are you guys going to spend the day fighting or what? Like, what's going on?
I'm probably going to spend it probably picking up dog shit and doing yard work. Yeah, you have to understand, it's not that the romance is dead. It's just, it's very different, Shannon. Mine is like, you know, replacing the toilet paper roll. That's like in the equivalent of I love you.
So, like, if you're...
That's your love language, Justin?
Yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, which way do you do it? Do you do it with the toilet paper going over the top or coming down the bottom?
Well, like, there's only one right way to do it, Shannon, and it's where the front of the roll, it rolls down in front. Yeah, I'm not going to reach behind the fucking holder to, like, get the toilet paper where it's, like, dragging against
the
wall.
Just a clear indicator that you don't have cats, because, like, if you had cats, you would probably want to put it the other way so that when they started to, like, hit the toilet paper roll, that it didn't, like, all unspool onto the floor.
See, you have to understand, I do have a cat, and he does do that, but if I change it the other way, then he wins. Like, I'm not going to conform to his system. I just roll it back up, and then I smack his ass and tell him no.
Yeah, the waterfall is the only true way to do toilet paper. Anyone else is a heathen and should be persecuted as such.
Yeah, so. And see, what Megan likes to do, just to fuck with me, instead of putting it on the holder where it belongs, she'll set it on top of the holder, on top of the sink, like, counter and stuff, and just leave the empty roll, the husk of a roll sitting there.
Now that
just etches away at my soul every time I say, like, are you fucking kidding me?
That is passive aggressive 101 right there. That is that is when you had to cover your shitty roommate on this light bill, you know, for the like tactics right there.
Yeah, or that's like, you know, the roommate, the light burns out in his room, so he goes and takes a light from somewhere else in the house and replaces that bulb. Yeah. And you're like, why doesn't this work? And you realize the light bulb's missing.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Think that's just bachelor life, though. I mean, like, you know, when I was a bachelor, I would take just one light bulb from room to room with me. So, you know,
dude, Shannon would wipe his ass with a sock and then turn it inside out.
I have a bidet now, sir. I do not need toilet paper. Toilet paper, I have transcended from toilet paper, sir.
All right, then. We'll move on from this conversation. So I don't know how you guys spent your week, but I spent mine really getting injured pretty badly. It was pretty awesome.
Well, I mean, like so, my picture I posted of you.
yeah, exactly.
Getting old, so explain to the people how you messed up your leg.
So I so for the uninitiated, I tore my hamstring this week, and I manage a warehouse that deals in wine. Wine gets shipped to the warehouse on pallets. They usually weigh about a ton. And I have a pallet jack. I was moving wine from point A to point B. And like I do every day, there was nothing new or unusual about what I was doing. But when I took a step dragging this pallet behind me, my left leg all of a sudden just went pop. Like I felt it just pop in the back of my leg, and my leg crumpled beneath me, which felt really good. But in that instant, I was like, oh, it's fine. Like it felt like I was able to stand back up. It supported my weight. I was able to move. I was like, okay, that was just like a weird muscle tweak or something. It's sore, but it's fine. Like, it's like a pulled muscle. I'm fine. Fast forward 24 hours. It is lunchtime the next day, and the back of my leg is swollen, almost doubled in size. And it's green, which is,
what?
Which is great. Yeah, I bruised really badly because it was bleeding out of the back where the hamstring tore. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it was one of those like, wow, my leg really hurts. And so I go to the bathroom and like go look at the back of my leg, and was one of those like within, 0.3 seconds of my eyes making contact with the skin on the back of my leg. I'm like, oh, I'm in a lot of trouble. Oh, no. So I call the doctor, get appointment, phone appointment, and they're like, well, on the plus side, you didn't tear it off the bone because you wouldn't be able to stand or walk if you had done that, but you tore it. That's pretty obvious. So hang out, you know, rest, ice, low impact, all that stuff, get the swelling down, but you're looking at probably 2 or 3 months of physical therapy after this to get it back to good. And I'm like, well, fucking great. So spend the next day off of work, keeping it up. It's feeling better. So I go back to work the next day, and I make it till about lunchtime, and then I can't walk and I'm in a lot of pain. So I call the doctor back, and I literally thought they were going to hand me a detention slip halfway through, because he was just chastising me like I was a child. Like, I mean, not to put words in their mouths, but they basically were going, what the fuck is wrong with you, you moron? Like, why would you have gotten up and done this? Don't you even understand how injured you are? Like, are you trying to get surgery? Is that what you're trying to do? Is like rip this thing completely off, shred your hamstring, make yourself lame for life? Is that what you are attempting to do here? And I was just like, no, I just wanted to go to work, you know.
Just wanted to feed my family and pay my bills. Totally.
So I had the rest of the week off now because I've been spending my time being horizontal in the most boring of ways because I can't move or walk much. And that's been my week. It's been a hell of a time.
Can we talk about the tremendous design flaw in pallet jacks for a second? Because things will hold like 2,000 pounds, 5,000 pounds. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the bigger ones, like up to 10,000 pounds, sure. Gets stopped dead in its tracks by a pebble the size of a fucking Tic Tac. It's the worst. Like,
if a piece of wood breaks off that pallet that is a quarter of an inch high, that thing is hitting the brakes hard, and you are effed. Like, there is, like, and you are dragging, you know, like you said, 2,000 pounds. It should just crush the wood and move on with its day. Nope, not at all. Like, you are done.
Yeah, slow down, guys. It's got to be perfectly smooth for me. I mean, I don't know if you've ever done the, like, where you use them as, like, a scooter. You know, when they're empty and you're just like, oh, man, like, I mean, the minute you hit one of those rocks, you get sent. It's like straight out of like a Jackass show. Like, you're just going straight over the handlebar, like airborne, like, yeah. You know.
Well, as long as you're going big wheel first, you're usually all right. But it's, yeah, if you're going little wheels first, you're done. It's game over. But yes, so in case you were ever put in the position to manage a warehouse and, or something of that nature, that exactly is why you sweep every damn day. You clean that floor every effing day just for the pallet jacks. That's why you do it. That's literally the only reason why. But yeah, it's, warehouse life. It's good times. Good times. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But yeah, so no one else injured themselves horribly this week?
I mean, my hands are pretty chewed up from my elevator work. Like, I don't know what was in the dust or the dirt that I was working on this week. But, like, you know, you build – you're working in an elevator shaft that hasn't probably been cleaned in, like, 20 or 30 years. Like, you know, a lot of people's, like, dead skin cells and Lord knows what else is in there. I wear gloves, but, you know, just the dirt was so aggressive that it just kind of got in there and just – turned my hands into splintered, cracked messes. So yeah, you know, putting the antibacterial hand sanitizer on your hands everywhere you go now, because, like, you know, we live in a pandemic time and, you know, you can't, heaven forbid, you get germs on you. Like, it's just, where are the new cuts? Like, that's pretty much what I'm playing now.
Yeah. Nice. That's, but, you know, in this world of pandemics, maybe you've got like a super immune system because of this, you know, like,
well, you never, I mean, I always wanted superpowers. So, you know, maybe this is my way of getting it.
This is your WandaVision origin story.
Yeah. Justin, did you get any paper cuts this week or anything like that you want to talk about?
So I didn't injure myself, but so last night I'm sitting there and I'm watching anime in the living room, just sitting in my computer chair, minding my own business.
Drawing a good night.
Yeah. My cat Oswald. So he's like 16 pounds. I think you guys have seen him before in the videos. He's a fat boy. He loves to try and sit in my lap.
Chonky. And, chonky, yeah, if you will.
Very chonky. And, you know, I'm just wearing like whatever, like pajama shorts or whatever around the house. I'm sitting there. He kept trying to jump up on my lap and I kept putting my hand in his face. And I'm like, no, like, I don't want you on me. Like, go away. And he kept coming back and I'm like, no, no. At some point, he attempted to jump on my lap. Did not get enough momentum to make it all the way up on my lap and latched his claws into my left leg. One was like in my thigh and it was in there and he's like hanging half off the ground and the only thing holding him up is this one claw that's in my thigh.
Oh,
and
man.
Megan's like sitting there looking at me as I'm like doing fucking Lamaze class in the chair. I'm like... And then like I finally get him unlatched and I fucking like sit there and like throw my hat. I'm like, fuck! Like, just because it hurts so fucking bad. And I like getting like burned because it was like, and my leg was like bleeding. And I like had my, I was drinking like a little sparkling fucking buy drink. And I like had the can pressed against my leg and stuff as like an ice pack on it. Like, that shit sucked. And it like burned like all fucking night. I was so pissed at him. It feels better today, but dude. I was like, it left like a nasty little, like, it looked like I had like a huge fucking zit on my thigh and I like popped it and it left like a crater. It's like what it looked like.
Brown recluse bite right inside of your leg. Yeah. good times. Good times. You know what we should talk about before we move on is I was tasked with trying the watermelon Mountain Dew for one Mike Miller. And Shannon, have you tried this yet?
I have a bottle right here.
All right, look at you.
I mean, I'll try it right now.
All right, dude. We're getting a live reaction from Shannon on the watermelon Mountain Dew.
It's decent.
He looks perplexed.
Well, I'm trying to
actually
figure
it looks
out
a little disgusted.
I'm trying to figure out if I like it or not.
That was my exact reaction. Was like. Because I'm not a big Mountain Dew or watermelon guy, but drinking it, it's one of those, like, it isn't really either. It doesn't really taste all that watermelon-y or Mountain Dew-esque. Like, I expect it to be, like, watermelon Jolly Ranchers or something like that, and it's not. But I like it better than, like, Baja Blast.
Yeah. I don't. I'll tell you right now, like it tastes like one of those, like when you were a kid and you went to the, like the, I don't know if you, this is your guys' story, like, you know, interpretation. But it's like when you go, like, when I was a kid, I used to go to this gas station that also had a car wash in it. And, like, you know, we'd watch the car get washed. And then, like, inside there was, like, a whole bunch of candy that you could get. And, like, my mom would usually buy, like, one candy for us. And there was this, like, bubblicious, like, watermelon flavor. And, like, I would eat it. And it didn't taste like watermelon, but it didn't taste like ass, and yeah. Like I would, it brings me back to that type of like knockoff watermelon flavor where it's just like all sugar, and I notice it's like 270 calories a bottle, which is
yeah
I think probably like really high up there in sugar content for, you know, Mountain Dew, like even more than their usual stuff. I would say it's not my favorite, which is probably gonna be, which is gonna set our Discord on fire, but yeah, it's I don't think it's good.
My overall review is it was better than it had any right to be, because I expected it to be super gross and it's totally not gross. Like it's absolutely fine. It's drinkable. There, like yeah. You know, but I would never choose to drink it.
I would not seek it out again, but if it was offered to me and I was thirsty, I would drink it.
And it also it's the type of drink that I believe has to be like ice cold.
Yes.
If it's kind of warm, that shit's going to get gross. You know, like.
Yeah. I would say that their Halloween flavor is a lot better. The mystery, like, you know, Mountain Dew flavor is a lot better than this one. So, yeah, it's going to sit over here and I'm going to go back to drinking my cider now.
I think my favorite Mountain Dew is still Code Red from back in the day.
You know, I would agree. Code Red is awesome. It tastes like a Shirley Temple.
Mm-hmm.
But something like the amount of red dye that is in that, like makes my face like explode into hives. So like,
well, it's also, wouldn't it like eat through the cans after a certain amount of years?
Yeah. That's what I don't think they sell it in cans anymore. It's in like plastic bottles because the plastic like holds up a little bit better than the aluminum.
Yeah. It's like, oh man, that's, but yeah, that's so okay, Mike, we did it. We tried some Mountain Dew. We both were, I guess, fine with it. Not really.
Mike is crying right now. He is audibly, like, ugly crying because we don't like it.
you and Jordan do the damn thing. Buy all the cases for us because I ain't buying them. So.
But the real question is, like, what's the most disgusting soda either of you have ever drinking?
Oh, ever? Ever?
Yes. That's like the bottom of the list.
That would be the Orbitz from the 90s that had the chunks in it. The, like, floating chunks. Do you remember that at all? It was, like, essentially they put, like, tapioca balls in them. But it was way too syrupy and didn't taste right, like, on any level. And then in the middle of it, you had chunks. And so it was just, like, it was fucking gross. Like, it was so disgusting. Like, the mouth feel of it was so gross that no matter, it could have tasted like the best thing ever and it still would have been fucking gross, you know. That would be my pick. Shannon, what's your worst?
I don't know, there's been a lot of bad ones.
And let's take out the like joke sodas, the like Thanksgiving dinner sodas and stuff like that. Like those don't count, you know. If you've ever tried a soda as a bet, like that, take it out. That doesn't count, you know.
I would say like an A&W cream soda. Like for some reason, like what? I don't like those. Like they don't sit well with my taste buds. I'll drink A&W root beer all day, but like if you give me one of the cream soda ones, it's not gonna end well for me.
I like the cream sodas.
Well, that's, I mean, to each their own. Maybe you just have bad taste, but you know.
I mean, fair. Justin,
like, or seven. Like, the worst thing, I think, in recent memory that I can remember drinking and just being like, never again, was I tried, I think it was Monster, and it was this, like, I want to say it's like a Moscow Mule kind of flavor, but it's like that artificial, like, Moscow Mule kind of like ginger sort of flavor I did not like. I like normal Moscow Mules, but I was not a fan of it at all. And I was just like, nope, this is not for me.
That was like a two sipper, or like one sip to be like, this can't be that bad. And then you're like, oh, yep, no, it is that bad. Okay.
Yeah. Coincidentally, on the other end of the spectrum, though, I was like probably 16 or 17 when it came out, was Red Bull had a flavor that was Coke. It was like Coke. It was like cola flavored. And
really? I don't remember that at all.
Dude, it didn't.
You can still find it.
Dude, I have not seen it since then. And, like, it's weird because it doesn't really taste like Coke. Like, to me, I'm like, this isn't really, I don't think Coca-Cola might drink it. But it's one of those when you first sip it, I'm like, oh my God, like, that's disgusting. And then you take another sip and you're like, this is actually pretty fucking good. And then, like, you enjoy it. But it's like one of those where it's like really off-putting at first because it tastes like Red Bull mixed with Coke, but then it kind of grows on you.
I just thought of something because we were talking sodas and Mountain Dew. Do you remember when Coke came out with their like Mountain Dew competitor called Vault?
Yes. I used to drink that all the time in middle school.
Oh, that was pretty gross. Vault was pretty gross. and Surge. Surge was pretty gross.
Yeah. Like Vault, Surge, and Jolt.
Yeah. See, like, I like Jolt. I like Jolt as like just the flavor of it. I could drink Jolt.
It was a little strong. But if you wanted a strong pick me up, that was the shit to drink.
So I tried the Coca-Cola with coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Just the plain Coke coffee flavor, not the vanilla or toffee or whatever they've released. Oh, it's okay. It's one of those like. Because I don't know if you remember Coca-Cola Black from back in the day. Their first attempt at doing a Coke with coffee drink, it was awful. Like, it was real bad. And it was just bitter. Bitter as hell. But the Coke with coffee, it's not as sweet as, like, the Starbucks cans. But it definitely has – it gives you, like, that Coke, like, aftertaste. It's like the initial hit is like coffee, but then you get the sweet on the back, and there's something about it that works. And it's one of those, like, I've had a can and I'm like, I can't tell if I would have no more cans of this or like 10 more cases of this. Like, I can't, there's something like, the CVS by my house has them because it's like a new release or whatever for like essentially 99 cents. For like the bigger can of it. And I'm like, sure, I'll try it for a buck. Why not? It's pretty good. If you like your coffee drinks, I think it's all right. You can do a lot worse. Lord knows. Those Monster Javas are way worse. So.
You mean worse as in worse for your body? Or.
Zach's like yes.
I mean, little of column A, little of column B.
Because I tend to, you know, I tend to like the. If I'm going to drink like a monster drink, it's going to be one of the coffee flavors.
I go the fruit punch one.
Yeah.
Monster, that's my jam.
Pipeline punch. That's the jam right there. That's the go-to. But yeah, I mean, if it's a coffee flavor, that's the one I'm going to. Like the Coke energy drinks suck balls. I'll tell you that right now. Yeah. It tastes like poo-poo.
If I can't have my Bang Energy Unicorn drink, then I don't really fucks with it. Cause
that Bang
Unicorn, let me tell, dude, there's something about that flavor also. Cause I've tried multiple flavors. You might as well just be shooting at meth at that point. Like when you're on the unicorn, let me tell you, it takes you for a ride, my friend.
Yeah, I haven't been on a Bang kick for a while, so like I had one the other day, and I will tell you right now, I had to sit down. Like I was just like I have too much going on right now. Like I can't focus. Like I got the shakes, I got the sweats. Like it's 50 degrees outside and I'm rocking a t-shirt right now. Like no problem. Like it was a rush. Like I can't do Bangs anymore, I don't think.
Have you had the birthday cake flavor?
I tried like a sip of one once. I haven't had a whole can of it though.
It's weird because it's like one of those, it's not like I would recommend it to anybody because it's definitely like not my favorite. But it's interesting because it's like every time I sip it, it's almost like it coats your tongue, and it feels almost like you like when you eat like lick frosting, and it gets that kind of like thin like veil left over on your tongue. That's what it feels like.
Drinking this is like licking frosting. Like put that on the fucking box. Like that is so great.
I love to keep going down this road, but can we talk video games? Because we've been talking for like 25 minutes on like drinks.
All right. Jeez.
I'm just saying, we got to give the people what we want. I mean, like, we've actually had people in India download our podcast. I don't think they're getting half of the stuff that we're getting over here that's going to put us in a diabetic coma. Yeah. You know?
I just thought of the worst transition. All right, fuck it, I'm gonna do it. Like, freaking drink Nazi over here. And speaking of Nazis, can we talk about the Mandalorian, Gina Carano?
I appreciate the transition.
Thank you. I apologize. That was horrible. I'm sorry. But yeah, so that happened this week. Gina Carano, formerly of the Mandalorian, was fired after making comparisons to Republicans today being like Jews during the Holocaust, which, you know, when you stack it on top of literally everything else she said since November, you kind of get the feeling that Lucasfilm was waiting, just please do something so I can fire you. Just please, whatever, just something. And she did, and so they did. So, yeah, that I gotta imagine that gums up the works for The Mandalorian Season 3, because Cara Dune had become a pretty big part of that show.
Yeah.
By the end of it. And they were supposed to give her her own show, which they were going to announce in December. And then November happened, and Twitter happened for her, and they were like, yeah, we're going to put that one on the shelf for a little bit and get back to it. But now all of that's gone. So...
Well, I think there's a huge petition right now to get I forget her, the wrestler's name, but Ali something from the WWE. There's a strong likeness as far as you know, comparison of like the build and everything like that of the character, her muscle structure, things like that. So a lot of people are really pushing for them to recast the character with her in it, and just, you know, keep having their plans go forward. So I don't think that's the last we're going to see of the character. I think they're going to find some way to make it work, or they're just going to kill her off in like the first 5 minutes of the episode, you know, when it comes back. But I would like to see it recast. I would like to see them kind of continue on with the character and that arc the way that it was originally intended. But yeah, it just sucks that, you know, she can't get out of her own way. You know, and that tweet that she sent out was the final one, but you know, she put out things like Epstein didn't kill himself, and like, you know, she was mocking people wearing two masks during the pandemic in California. She, you know, she was just talking about the absurdity of it all. So, you know, if you can't get out of your own way to do a job and just, you know, try not to be controversial, it's time to go. Like, Disney's not going to do anything, you know, especially with cancel culture being the way that it is. They're not going to, you know, put up with that stuff for long.
By the way, can we shelve the term cancel culture? Because in reality, it's consequence culture. You know, like, so no one's canceling you. There's just consequences. Sorry.
That's true. Yeah.
But yeah, my favorite was immediately after that dropped, someone posted up, which would be like the scroll from the beginning of Mandalorian Season 3. And it said, Mandalorian Season 3, Cara Dune crashed her X-Wing and died, LOL. Totally like Poochie died on his way to his home planet, you know, type goodbye for Cara Dune. Yeah, and I have a hard time crying any real tears for her, because guess what? People are like, why would she do all this? She doesn't, you know, why would you throw away this opportunity and this career and blah, blah, blah. She's the heiress to the family that owns the Caesar Gaming Company, like the casino company. So she's an heiress to a billion-dollar fortune. So that's why she gives zero fucks about any of this. And, you know, I guess when you got that much money, you feel like you should be able to say whatever the hell you want, and who cares if it hurts people. But I'm glad there were some consequences here. Yeah. You know, like, just guess what? Don't say shit that hurts people, because people don't like that.
Yeah, and don't be a dick.
Yeah, it costs you a whole fucking... And, like, people that just can't stay off Twitter. I don't get it. It's like, I will just, the list of people that will just shoot themselves in the foot on Twitter day after day after day. It's like, you realize you don't need to hit send, right? You, there's no one forcing you to type this shit and hit send. Like, I don't, man.
Man, I have trouble coming up with content to put on Twitter, let alone, like, I just, yeah. I don't know if people want to hear me, you know, every time I go poop, like a poop revelation every time I, you know, I don't need to do that.
Have you considered that you're not a big enough asshole? Maybe.
Maybe. It just goes against everything I believed in my whole life.
Yes. And now you've got a bidet, and it's just, it's a whole thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
Justin, did you have thoughts on this before we moved on?
I mean, I was kind of just more like in the same boat with like both of you. Like, it's like, at this has happened so many times to so many other people. It's like, when will the lesson be learned?
Yeah.
Like, especially with like after what happened to James Gunn, and like his shit was, honestly, I thought that was fucking stupid that Disney even fired him over some like 15-year-old fucking tweet that was just like some dark joke, whatever. And then it took like them being like, you either get him back or there's no Guardians 3, and then them being like, okay, like, let's backpedal here. But, like, dude, like, well, why, just, there's no reason to, like, when you're under a contract like this, especially with, like, a family company, whatever, like, Disney, like, you are no longer speaking for yourself, you're speaking, like, on behalf of this company, that they will immediately shut you down if you act out of line from any of their like values or start to bring any negative press their way. And then getting shit trending on Twitter, like, can't like cancel this person, fire this person, does not look good on them. Like, they companies like that don't want to make fucking statements online about their employees and stuff like that. Like,
they pay billions of dollars in legal fees to not use their legal fees. You know, like, that's the thing, is they don't want their lawyers coming up with press statements ever, you know?
Right.
So, it's like you said, like, I don't understand how this isn't a lesson that isn't learned in 2021, you know? Like, how does this keep happening to people? But also, fuck her. Like, you know. guess who I'm not gonna cry zero fucking tears for? That bitch. Like, I'm over it, you know? Like, I didn't like her on the show anyway. Like, that's the thing I don't understand. Okay, politics aside, who fucking loved her character? Hey, yeah, I'm championing the one person that can't act in this whole show. Like, it's like, anytime she was on screen, it's like, just ground to a screeching fucking halt. Like, I don't know. Like, my own feeling is, I'm really happy I don't have to deal with her anymore. Sweet.
Well, you know, she has an acting pedigree. She's been in 3 movies. Huh? They didn't. Yep. I mean, like, other than Deadpool, they didn't really do too well. But, you know.
Well, and she basically was the same character in all the movies.
So. She was, yes.
But anyway, let's go on to other internet shenanigans, which is Cyberpunk. Hey, remember Cyberpunk, you guys? How they released it? It was all smooth sailing ever since. Well,
I remember.
Dicks everywhere.
Yeah, well, it seems like every week we have the CD Projekt Red cyberpunk fuck up of the week. And this week was hackers got in and to the internal network and collected a whole bunch of data, including the source code for the game. Financial papers, legal, HR work, all of this stuff, and then notified CD Projekt Red that they had it and were holding it all for ransom. And then they did the real curious move of releasing their ransom note, to Twitter and basically saying, yep, all this is going down. And, I mean, I guess they did it to like take the teeth out of it. But you gotta imagine they'd be a little concerned about, you know, all this internal documentation going up. I mean, the source code for the game, whatever, like, the game's been released. Someone could backward engineer that. I'm sure they're not all that worried about that unless there's stuff in the original code that you don't want seeing the light of day. But the game's so fucking broken anyway, I'm sure they don't really care. But yeah, like, I, and, I appreciate any ransom note in the year of our Lord, 2021, that begins with, you've been epically pwned.
Like, yeah.
This shit sounds made up.
Well, you know it's an older person, because I haven't heard that's the word
pwned. That's a great point. That is such a great point. Like, this is totally some 45-year-old asshole in a basement somewhere. Like, yeah, that is, wow. I hadn't considered that. You are so on brand.
Well, yeah, when I read it, too, like, the English, like, I'm like, dude, this is, like, sounds like it was, like, someone, like, overseas that, like, wrote it and then used, like, Google Translate or something to try. He's affecting him. I'm like, dude, this just, like, from what I read too, like, people were saying that they thought that, like, it was probably like an internal job or something anyway, that someone, like, from, like, CD Projekt Red, that, like, actually worked on the game or something, that someone who did it.
But it was funny because it was just, like, so much more. Like, so, like, the hackers got in, they got all the information, and they were like, look, like, all we want you to do is fix the game. And if you can't fix the game, like, you know, do something, like, reimburse, like, some of the money that, like, people spent supporting your garbage, you know, attempt at a game. And, you know, they were just like, you know, we have all this information, we're gonna sell it if you don't, you know, if you don't comply. And they were just like, well, we're gonna call your bluff, and we don't think you have all this information, so we're not doing anything. And then that's when the hackers were like, okay, fine, we're going to sell it. And then they put out, like, the Twitter, you know, ransom letter, whatever. And then they sold it to some other party. I don't know who. It's, you know, the article was kind of vague. It was kind of like, yeah, they sold it. And then, you know, made sure, you know, put, like, some kind of code in there to make sure that they couldn't resell it to somebody else, or split up the information and parcel it out. So I don't know how credible that last portion is. It kind of sounds like, you know, kind of sounds inaccurate and shady, but, you know, it just, whatever, dude, like, it just, the woes keep packing up, and it just goes to show how pissed people are about this game being such a dookie bomb. You know, it's just, I'm over it. Like, move on, guys. Like, it was a bad game. Like, there's gonna be something else that you're gonna like to play that's gonna come, like, down the pipeline. Like, just, you know, don't play the game. Don't waste your time on these guys.
I'm with it. Like, but at the same time, standing from the sidelines, I'm kind of enjoying watching this, like, weekly train wreck that is this game. Like, and I feel bad because that's a real company where, like, real people work and, like, have to deal with all this bullshit, and it sucks. And I get that. But you know, when someone has a real bad day after they wreck on the highway, I still slow down to look at the car wreck. I can't help it. I'm human. So,
dude, what's funny though is, like, somewhere, like, Bethesda's sitting there and they're like, finally, thank fucking God, somebody besides Fallout 76 is getting beat to shit by, like, Game Press.
They finally stopped talking about those fucking bags. Thank God.
Oh man. Remember when that was, like, a thing? Like, bags? Like, yeah. Chintzy bags?
Mm-hmm. Bags and then premium servers. And everything.
And then having actual NPCs in the game instead of just terminals. That was the whole thing. Oh, man.
But that game's come a long way. Like, you don't hear bad stuff about that game anymore. And in actuality, I think they've actually grown. Like, that game. Yeah. I mean, granted, like, you know, the launch was rough. But, like, here we are, what, 3 years later? And it's got a pretty robust, like,
3 years later, and it still exists. That's the thing. Like, you know, I mean, what was it? What was the game that got shut down? Blood? No, Battleborn. Battleborn Anthem. Got shut down.
Oh yeah, the Anthem knockoff.
No, that it was an Overwatch knockoff. I think.
Oh, yeah. It was made by the, wasn't it 2K Games?
The company that makes Borderlands.
Gearbox, 2K?
Gearbox made it. Yeah. It was a Randy Pitchford joint.
That lasted like a day.
Yeah. if that. Like, it was one of those. It was DOA when it launched. Like, it's like, yeah, it's here. And everyone's like, nah, but I got Overwatch, homie. Like, we're good. Don't release that. but let's talk about a release that I am excited for. and we got a release date for Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, and that date is going to be June 11th.
Yay.
And I'm excited because I got a PS5 coming my way March 2nd, so I'll have a system to play it on.
Yeah, so what are you going to play for 3 months?
Well, I got that Resident Evil demo.
And then Resident Evil comes out in May, right?
Yep, Resident Evil comes out in May. Astrobot, that's a game. It's a game that's on the system. Well, the Destruction Derby game that I got for free on PS Plus. That's sitting there.
Okay. I'll making sure.
I'll figure it out. Oh, the God of War 60 plus mode. Hell yeah. I'm actually super stoked to play through God of War again with the upgrades.
But, Zach's going to download Destiny 2 on the PS5.
I might.
That's how you know you're desperate for a game.
Man, listen, I go through the should I re-download Destiny 2 internal battle literally every month. There's just something about that game. Like, I like the shooting of it so much. Like, I enjoy the physical playing of Destiny 2, but I hate everything else around it. Like, I don't want to worry about fucking light levels and, like, finding whatever random ass story this bullshit is and, like, all this stuff. But, like, hey, shooting guys sure is fun. Can I get back to just shooting dudes? And everyone tells me, like, the game's gotten so much better, and I have that internal struggle with Destiny all the time. Mm-hmm. And now the whole damn thing's on Game Pass. Like, I could literally just snag everything. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah, it's on Game Pass. It's not on PlayStation.
Yes, I'm aware. I know how we got here, but I'm saying, like, I still wouldn't buy it versus just download it.
Both. Well, Destiny 2 is free to play now.
Vanilla Destiny 2, right?
Yes.
Yeah. You still have to get the expansions. But...
No, you don't. For what you're going to play, you don't need to get the expansions.
But...
Stuff, and you're going to be like, yep, I got my fill. I shot things on the same planet like 15 times. I'm good.
I mean, not wrong. Not wrong. But it feels wrong, Shannon. Damn it. That's what I'm saying. But hey, one last bit of news, and this one's more for Shannon because I don't think Justin's played it still. But the remember Spiritfarer?
Yep.
And how we liked that game, but got a little long?
Yep.
Well, apparently it was kind of a bigger success than Thunder Lotus Games thought it was going to be. And instead of rolling out more games after Spiritfarer, my guess is COVID kind of got them a little bit in a way. So they are rolling out more content for Spiritfarer. There's three free drops, free, coming, starting with spring, introducing a new spirit named Lily, which is Stella's younger sister, and story content around that. And also co-op fishing is going to be introduced. So maybe a little bit of that. And then there's a summer update with Beverly, a bird character, and then a fall update where Jackie and Daria are going to be, and that's going to bring on a bunch more boat building aspects and things like that. I'm curious to see how this is rolled in. Like, if this isn't, hey, you need to start a whole new game to get this stuff, but if this is, oh, there's now these areas of the map you can go to and do these stories, I'll be way more interested if this is like a one character arc and that's it. You know?
Shannon, I don't know. I'm so uninterested, though.
I'm not gonna lie. I've had my fill of that game, and there is nothing that's gonna make me go back to it.
Which is fair, but I do feel like there is a way to make that content really compelling if it's done just that. Like Lily, it's only Lily's storyline. You're not dealing with any other characters at that point. Like that. Okay, I'm on board for that. You know, if it's like a 4-hour experience for one character, sure.
That's what they should have done in the game, though. Like, they should have gotten rid of a lot of the trash, like just one-off characters that had no tie-in to the main character, because you kind of get the idea, like, that's what I kind of hated about this, the whole, like, story, is there was maybe, like, two or three characters that were involved with the actual Spiritfarer, and then all the other characters on your boat, like, were not tied in any way, shape, or form, and their quests were long, and they were boring, and there was no payoff, there was no resolution, you didn't get to figure out what was going on with them. You know, when I was playing that game, the ones that were directly tied to her in the family, like, you got the idea that there was a car crash of some type that happened, which, like, wiped out her family, and I wanted to explore that more, and I was really disappointed that I didn't get to figure out, like, what actually happened with her, why she's the Spiritfarer, why they chose her specifically, over anybody else in her family, you know, where that resolution was, like, why the rest of her family is there, like, you know, was this bigger, like, did this get more depressing, like, it's, like, her family died, and then it spun the rest of the family into, like, this deep depression, and, you know, things kind of went off the rails, and that's why, you know, other things in the story happen. I don't want to spoil it if somebody else wants to play it. But, like, you know, is that, like, was that, like, the pin in the grenade that created the downfall for the other people that were tied to her? So, I mean, that would be interesting, but, like, I've already put the time into the game. I've already, you know, decided that I didn't like the ending. Like, it's not going to change the ending for me in any way, shape, or form. And everything just felt so tedious and long.
Sure.
Which, so, you again, know, yeah, I mean, if you're going to get into this, like, for the first time, like, it, yeah, wait until all this free content drops and play it, and, you know, maybe they'll have ironed some of the stuff out, but it just felt way too long and boring by the end of that game.
Yeah, that game, I mean, as we've talked before, that game was a lot, but I feel like what was there, what they got right was still really, really good. Mm-hmm. And I'd be interested to see if this new content addresses any of those, or if it's just more of the same. And if it's more of the same, I'm kind of with you. I'm not all that interested in that.
Yeah, the first four spirits, amazing. Yeah. The last, like, four spirits, garbage.
It was going through the paces at that point. You know? But yeah, I guess that's it. You guys have any other news, or should we move into what we've been playing?
Yes.
Which is it? Do you have news, or should we move on?
Yeah, move on.
Okay. I'm like, do you have any more news, or should we do what we're playing? Yes. Okay.
Yes.
So me and Shannon have been playing the same game. I'm not all that far in. I think Shannon's played a little more than me, but Super Mario 3D World has been released for the Switch this week. This was the Wii U game that came out in 2013, but now contains Bowser's Fury as well as the main game. And I had never played it. I had played Land, which was the 3DS one, which I enjoyed. And 3D World is very much that same design, but really, really beautiful. Like, that's the thing with the Switch. It's a 4-year-old system at this point, and a lot of third-party stuff, it shows its age, and you can see a lot of the cracks around the edges. But when Nintendo releases a Nintendo title on it, goddamn, those games look amazing. Like, they really just do. And the game runs great. It's really fun to play. I'm enjoying it. My kids are really loving it. They're trying to play it as well. They've been obsessed with the cat suit. Cat Mario is a big hit around these parts. And I've beaten the first world, essentially. I've released, like, the first green fairy thing, but I have not tried any of the Bowser's Fury stuff. But Shannon, you have, right?
I have. And it's so much fun. I mean, I haven't played any of these games, any of these Mario games, so the fact that there's kind of like a tool belt where you can collect the different types of, like, you know, the star, the fire flower or the boomerang flower, or the cat suit. Like, you can, you know, mix and choose your power-ups as you're playing through the game. It's so refreshing. Instead of having to hunt around for, like, stupid, you know, squares that you can use to access certain puzzles or to get to certain heights in the game, you can just, you know, go to your tool belt, and if you have that cat suit, just swap it in. And it's not like you're using... It's not like you have to sacrifice the one that you currently have either. It just goes right back into that inventory belt. It's amazing. The gameplay is smooth. The camera issues in a couple areas for the climbing have been a little annoying. It's been a little slow to pivot, which is fine. Bowser coming into Bowser's Fury and being like this huge kaiju type monster that you have to figure out like how to navigate around and dodge his attacks are pretty great. Like, you always want to make sure that you see him in, you know, in the background when you're playing, because he's got this one fireball like that just basically is like a straight laser that just engulfs like a whole area. So you want to get behind cover when he shoots that thing out. But like going and finding all the little cat bells so that you can make the one bell active, so you can, you know, get to that big size and then fight Bowser in his large form is awesome. You know, once you get to that like huge size and you can see the plateaus and everything that you were like climbing up as a cat, but now they're basically up to your knee, like while you're fighting Bowser, is pretty cool. Like, it gives you that like whole like Godzilla type you know, grand scope of things. The battles I've done with Bowser haven't been too hard. It's just kind of figuring out like what his special attack is going to be when he's in that giant form and you're in the giant form, like what you have to watch out for. Like, you know, is he going to slam a shell into the ground, which is going to create a shockwave, which is going to, you know, you have to jump over and time it right. Like, how do you have to attack him? Where's his weak point? Like, those are all like, you know, fun little things to find out, and they're not super frustrating yet. Like, I've only fought Bowser twice and unlocked maybe two extra areas that you can go to, but that map, it seems like it's big. It's pretty it's sprawled out, and you can, you know, choose the areas that you want to go to. You know, they do a good job of kind of ushering you around to the areas that you need to, you know, go to collect all the bells. And, you know, in the other Mario games that I've played where it's been like, you know, collect all the suns or do all this, you know, it's been kind of a chore. These, it's kind of fun. You know, you get to go up to the lighthouses, get like a high view of like the whole area. They kind of do like a toned down, like Assassin's Creed type of view where like you can see everything and you can be like, okay, I need to go over there and get that. Like, it doesn't make it too challenging for you to figure out where things are and what you need to do. You know, if you wanted to get the, like, all the cat bells in all of the areas, like, to get 100%, like, Justin, I know you're probably going to want to do all that. Like, you know, it can be pretty challenging once you start to get the, like, you try to get the harder ones, because some of them are timed. Like, you got to, you know, jump on this button, and then you got to jump and platform across to get to this certain area before time runs out. The camera is probably going to be the hardest thing that you're going to have to fight in those like situations. But I'm enjoying Bowser's Fury a lot more than I thought I was going to, actually. So yeah, I'm excited to stick with this game and go through it all. You know, it's the game I want to play now, as opposed to the RPG I got, the Atelier Ryza 2. That one I wish was a little bit more, I wish it held your hand a little bit more. That one is, you know, kind of an RPG, but they don't really tell you what to do or where to go or, you know, what's going to progress the story. I mean, they do have the story arcs, but they don't tell you how to get there. Everything is kind of crafted because you're an alchemist. So everything, you basically just go out and collect a whole bunch of crap, and then you got to go back, and then you got to, you know, level up your alchemy to progress the story. I wish I had done that in the beginning, because my character's so overpowered now that, like, I'm blasting through, like, story beats super fast because, you know, I spent so much time in the beginning, like, meandering around trying to do random stuff. But yeah, Mario, it's a good game. And Justin, you should buy it. Buy it soon.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to pick it up and download it. But what's funny, though, too, is, you know, I think, was it Bravely Default comes out, I think, at the end of this month. So you're just going to drop everything and end up playing that anyway.
No, I'm going to beat Mario, and then I'm going to beat, and then I'm going to play Bravely Default. And Atelier Ryza 2 is just going to sit on the back burner until I finish both of those games.
My favorite thing with Super Mario 3D World coming out is I've looked at a few reviews, and all the reviews are like, oh, it's great fun to go back and relive those games, but Bowser Fury, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, pause for a second. The Wii U version sold 5 million copies. The Wii U itself sold 13 million copies. There's 75 million Switches. You know how many people have not played this game that are potentially going to buy it? Like, don't tell people, like, it's great to go back and then just gloss over what the game is entirely. It's like, there's so many people don't know what the hell Super Mario 3D World even is, that it's, like, not a Mario 64 type or Galaxy type game. No, it's like a 2.5D version, you know, with a free floating camera and the, you know, the standard almost new Super Mario type jumping and all that in a 3D space. It's like, it's so maddening to have people just be like, oh, well, you know what this is. And it's like, no, no, like, literally more people have no idea what this game is at all versus have played it. Like, it's so not one-to-one in any way. Ah, so frustrating to see. But I played another game this week that Shannon, you should play when you get a PS4 hooked back up, and Justin, you should also play because it's interesting as hell, is Concrete Genie, which is the PS Plus game this month. And let me tell you, for the price of $3.99, it's excellent. It's a really good PS Plus game. So I'm going to tell you something, and it's going to scare you off the game. You're both going to look at me and be like, nope, I'm out. This game uses motion controls. Yep, there it is. Shannon's like, I'm done.
Nope.
Yep. But let me tell you how it uses them. It might help you. So you play a kid named Ash, and you need to close the door. Bye. So you play a kid named Ash, and you're not catching Pokemon. You are getting bullied horrifically in this, like, little shanty sea town that has been completely abandoned, and basically a gang of hoodlums has taken it over, and you're just trying to hang out on the dock there and draw your scary little monsters and hope that no one, you know, pays attention to you. But they find you. They rip up your sketchbook. They lock you in the tram that goes to the lighthouse. You wind up at the lighthouse. You have no idea how to get out of there. And then all of a sudden, one of your drawings floats down and comes to life. And you are given a magic paintbrush and some other little spirits that help you out. And are sent back into the town to essentially paint away this corruption that has covered up the whole town and try to fix it at the same time. So that's where the motion controls come in. You bring up, you're finding pages from your sketchbook that are floating around the town that are drawings that you can pull from. And you will pick a drawing and then you use the motion controls like against the wall, essentially. Like your cursor will come up a point on the wall. You hold it down to make a stroke with it to paint. And it adds that image to the wall. Like, you're not actually painting the whole image. It's just like, I need, you know, stars. So I use the cursor to make a line and it paints stars across the top of the wall or whatever. But then you also can create genies using the same method. And that's a cool little gimmick. They're creatures that are stuck to the wall. You, can decorate them with also parts that you find, around the world. And they help you essentially clear out bigger areas and also create – each level ends with you creating a masterpiece, and which helps clear a bigger chunk of the town. The thing that's cool about the game, you'll find yourself – you can paint literally any surface, not just – you can get through the game super quick if you were just like, oh, I need to paint these three things, move on. Paint masterpiece, move on. Paint these three things, move on. But you can paint literally anything. And I found myself lots of times just hanging out, being like, oh, this would be fun to like do a little like forest scene over here by this, you know, water treatment plant. Or yeah, like sure, I'll It's the electrical plant. So let's do a whole, like, you know, nighttime sequence with roaring fires and all this stuff over here. And there's no really, like, reward for doing that, but it's just fun. And all of that stuff sticks. So, like, even in the cutscenes that play afterwards, you'll see your artwork on the buildings behind you and everything. And the story is pretty moving. It's heavy-handed, and it's kind of, you know, it's not the most in-depth storytelling in the world, but it definitely is effective, and you kind of learn why all these hoodlums are who they are and what happened to the town as you're working your way through it. And it kind of flips on its head for the last act a little bit. You get to go on the offensive, and when some genies go bad. But all in all, it was a really good game. You can beat the whole thing in like 6 hours. It's not all that in depth, but I highly recommend it. Concrete Genie rules. Like, and my kids loved watching it. They were hanging out with me the entire time I played it. Like, yeah, my daughter was super concerned by the ending, and I needed to explain it to her. She was very not okay with the end for a while there. But yeah, go play you some Concrete Genie. It's good stuff.
So let me ask you this question, because I don't know if I'm going to have a PlayStation hooked up before this gets off of PlayStation Plus. But if you had to pay a dollar amount for this game, what dollar amount would you pay?
I would pay probably in the realm of, if I paid in the $25 range, I would not feel like I was getting ripped off at all. Like, it's not a $60 title. It's just not. But it's in that $29.99 to $39.99 range, you know?
Okay.
And then I'd probably tell you to wait for a sale. You know, it's one of those things. But, like, it's only budget in its length. Like, because it ends quick. Like, it's one of those things, like, right about the time you get your flow of it, you go, like, oh, this game's over. You know, like, oh, I feel like... You get a whole new set of mechanics that open up, and then the game ends. And it's one of those, like, that being said, if this developer wanted to throw out a whole new pack, like, here's a whole nother set of part of the town that you need to go do or something, like, I'd be on board. I would absolutely do it. It's just, I think they probably ran out of time and budget and were just like, yep, put a bow on this. We're good. You know? And, but at the same time, I'm fine with that. Like, I didn't necessarily need 10 more hours of it either. Like, it was fine, you know, like it did what it needed to do. So,
like, control wise, are the controls, like, aside from the motion controls, like, do they feel responsive? Is it, I mean,
yeah. The moving around and climbing around the town part is totally normal. Like, I'd put it in, I mean, it's not Ubisoft like Assassin's Creed, but it's very similar in that, like, you're going on rooftops, climbing up buildings, jumping up and down. You get the ability to kind of, they call it like paint ski or something like that. But essentially you put that paintbrush down by your feet and just like slide or skate around on like a big thing of paint after a while. And that was super cool and fun and like a real fast way to move around the town, which was neat. But yeah, all of it felt really nice. Like, I mean, honestly, if they would let you just take the motion controls away and map it to a button interface, I probably would have done it but they're not, the motion controls are not a hindrance. Like, they're not, it's not one of those things where every time you do it, you're like, oh fuck, why? Mm-hmm. You know? So yeah, I think everything about the game is really nice. And like, even graphically, or it's pretty impressive, you know, how it manages to pull your, cause all the genies you make are totally up to your choice. Like, you can decorate them or make them however you want. And the fact that it remembers them, pulls them back time after time, like, they just keep showing up and they always look the same, and it's always to your specific thing. It was a cool little gimmick that I really dug.
Okay. Now, like, as far as, like, is there combat in the game, or is it more like a, like, explore and paint kind of thing in the town?
So that's the thing. Is for the first, you know, five chapters of a six chapter game. No, sorry. Four chapters of a six chapter game, there is zero combat. Other than if the hoodlums find you, they kick your ass. That's it. Like, you're just running if they see you. But in chapter 5 and 6, you get the ability to go on the offensive and not stay on the defensive. And it's a kind of weird at first because you spent the whole game not doing that on any level. And then now it's like, okay, go battle. And it's like, wait, what? What am I doing? But it gets over the clunkiness pretty quickly when you figure out why you're doing it. And your first two like hurdles to clear once they put you on the offensive, story-wise, make it make a lot more sense. Cause at first it was just like, wait, what the hell just happened? And why am I fighting things now? This is dumb. Like, you know, like this isn't what this game is, but then they make it make sense. It's still a clunky transition. It's like that needed way more finessing than they gave it, other than like, yeah, this shit happened and swing a paintbrush and kill things now. Like, wait, what? Huh? that wasn't this game at all. But they reel it back in by the end though. So
cool.
Yeah.
Well, Justin, what are you playing?
So this week, I was like super busy with work and stuff, so I didn't really get to play a lot, but I went back into Magic Arena and I did a couple drafts in Kaldheim and stuff. And, it was a lot of fun. My first draft, I actually did pretty good and built a red green sort of deck and stuff that had like a lot of like power and stuff to it, and actually did pretty like well. I think I ended up with like 4 wins or something like that, so I basically kind of like got my entry fee from the draft and stuff back and stuff, and then got like a couple boosters and stuff.
That's the best feeling in the world when you get your draft fee back.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, like, that's the win through. Right there.
Exactly. So I was pretty happy with that, and then so I was like, all right, then I'll do another one. The second one did not go well for me. And I did. I went for a it was blue and green, but it was pretty much mono blue kind of control and stuff. And when the deck worked, it worked, and it was great. Like just negating basically like everyone's shit, like counterspelling them, and then I had a lot of like snow creatures and stuff that come in and make your stuff tap and stuff, and it doesn't untap during its next, so really like annoying shit and stuff. And when it worked, but I pretty much lost because 2 of the games I lost because I just flooded on lands so hard and had nothing to do. And so while I'm doing nothing, they're just building a board state and just murdering me.
Right.
And then the one game I ended up losing, and it was 100% my fault because I wasn't paying attention. And I got him down to 2 health, and I was like, okay, dude, like, this is pretty much game. And he cracked, he had one of the new special lands and shit, and cracked it. And basically, I didn't realize that he had ended up gaining 11 life. And so I swung in with my entire team thinking that I'm like, all right, you can only block, like, 2 or 3 of my creatures. Like, I can get into 2 points of damage and win. And I looked at his life total and realized he's back at, like, 13. Oh, and geez. I was like, uh-oh. I'm like, I just swung in with everything. This isn't going to kill him. And then I'm going to end up dying on the backswing from this. And I was like reading the land in his graveyard. And I'm like, even on Arena, I was like, oops. Yeah. I was like, well, I just fucking killed myself by doing this. But it was a lot of fun. I still have like one more. I have like a draft token still or whatever to do like one more draft. And that was the thing too, was a lot of stuff I was even drafting because I'm still missing like a lot of cards that I want from the set since it just came out. I was like, man, I'm not playing these colors, but I really want this card. So I was just like taking cards that I want to like build decks later with and stuff.
It's a good game. It's a really good game.
I'm happy it's
PC only, because, man, as soon as it goes iOS, I'm in trouble, I think. Well, gentlemen, have we hit the WandaVision spoilers section of our show?
Yes, we have.
All right. Well, then, I would if you are not on board for the spoilers, thank you for hanging out with us. I appreciate it. Like and subscribe. Smash that like button. But I think it's time to talk a little episode 6. The Halloween Spooktacular, gentlemen.
Yeah. So,
Shannon, I'll let you kick off. Where? What were your thoughts?
Oh, dude, I thought it was awesome. You know, Vision going off and doing his own thing. You know, lying to Wanda. Being like, oh, I'm just doing the neighborhood watch thing. And, you know, going off to do some investigation. I was just like, oh, damn, what, is he going to figure it out? Like, what's going on? Then you see him, like, get to the edge of town. You see him run into Agatha, and she's just, like, chilling in her car, and she's not with it. And you're just like, okay, well, you know, I thought she was probably one of those people that knew what was going on. But, like, even now, she just kind of seems like she's lost and doesn't know, like, what's going on. Her mind control is starting, like, you know, kind of.
Or was that an act? So that was my whole thing, like, initially, because that was my first blush at that too, was like, oh, I thought she was in on this. Like, she seemed like she, if there was like a Mephisto angle or something, like it was, she was like the rogue agent, you know, in all this. But then her snapping out of it, hysterics, wait, you're the Avengers, you know, all that seemed to take her out of that realm. But, she also is the ones telling Vision that he's dead for the first time. You know, she drops some bombs on there that are like, oh, this could be a way of her doing this without doing it necessarily, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. It seemed too authentic. Like, usually the writers do a pretty good job of letting you know kind of like who's in on it and, like, you know, if there's like some type of subterfuge going on. But it seemed like, I mean, she was pretty, like, well under the influence of something else. And, you know, I mean, why would she be on the edge of town like that? You know, it doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Usually she's right by Wanda's side. Mm-hmm. You know, so that kind of led me to question if she's just kind of like a pawn and she's already kind of exceeded her use, or, you know, is there something else going on? But, I mean, that was kind of like the like, okay, now Vision's gotta know something's going on, and, like, what is he gonna do now? Like, what, now that he knows the truth, like, what's gonna happen? You know, him going outside the bubble, was epic. Like, I was like, okay, how are they gonna play this out? Is he gonna walk outside and he's just gonna be normal?
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, we know he's dead. We know there's a lot of stacked up to say that this dude is dead, like he's staying dead. And when he walks out and you see all those strings pulling him back, you're just like, yeah, like he's only alive in this reality. Like, he's only alive as long as this bubble is up. And so I was relieved at that. Like, you know, I think this is the first time a character is going to stay dead, you know, and I'm kind of hoping that that's the case. But yeah, like Wanda, like, sensing, like, first of all, the kids getting powers was legit, like, crazy. Like, you know, them.
Well, it really did cement who those kids are, because they got, I thought it was cool that they gave, you know, in the comics, those kids become Speed and Wiccan, and they essentially gave them both their costumes as their Halloween costumes in the show, which was really cool. But it also maybe cements a little more of that Mephisto angle, because, you know, part of the reason they, in the comics, they get their powers is through Mephisto. So it'd be interesting.
Yeah. I like the throwback to, like, the, OG, like, Scarlet Witch and Vision costumes too.
Yeah. And Quicksilver also.
Yeah.
Yeah. The OG ones.
That was all cool. But, like, dude, like, Wanda, like, full on just smashing her brother, like, just hitting him right in the chest. Like, that was epic. Like, her expanding the force field and seeing, like, you know, all the FBI agents that were in that building get turned into clowns. And, like, you know, it's a whole carnival setup over there. Like, I was like, oh, like, how is this going to play out now? Like, what's going to happen? Because, like, what was it? The FBI agent and the you know, the two other main characters and are, you know, kind of out of the bubble still, right? I mean, yeah.
They're going to meet Monica's contact, who's supposed to be able to figure out a way to get them back in.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but now Monica is, you know, this is setting up as the biggest long con ever for how to get powers. You know, essentially has been told she's had her been rewritten at the cellular level twice. So mm-hmm. It's like, oh, it's third time the charm. Is this where you get your photon abilities? Is that what we're doing? But then, yeah, what happens to Darcy now, too? Because she's in the hex.
Mm-hmm.
So, but also, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but it feels like there has to be something out there that's boosting Wanda's powers at this point. Like, she even seems confused by what she can do. You know, like, she doesn't even seem to understand how she's doing what she's doing at this point.
But she's rolling with it, right? I mean, like,
oh, yeah.
It was just Vision's dying. I need to do something to save him. I can't get there in time. Forget it. I'm just going to make this force field bigger. I'm going to make the hex bigger. So, you know, she might not know why she has the ability to do what she's doing, but she's not questioning it. She's just rolling with it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was an amazing episode. Justin,
you've been suspiciously quiet during this whole thing.
Yeah. No, I know. It's because I was letting Shannon get all of it out before I go into, you know, I really enjoyed every week. Is just, it kind of like destroys so many theories and then creates so many more, and it kind of always pushes my expectations for the show. And I was telling Zach a little bit before we started, because I was telling how excited I was to talk about. One, I love the entire first 5 minutes, the whole Malcolm in the Middle. Yeah. Like, it was how it was set up. The intro was 100% Malcolm in the Middle. And like the first five of them talking directly to the camera, to the way just like they were interacting with each other. It was totally that era of family sitcom and stuff of breaking the fourth wall. That was great. Like you said before, like the fact that they did the throw. I've been waiting for the Halloween episode since they showed the trailer and stuff. Like getting to see everyone's costumes was great. A lot of interesting stuff happened in this episode. The fact that we did find out Vision could leave the hex, but he also can't leave the hex. He forced his way out to basically get sucked back in, which kind of now raises the question that he can't exist outside of the hex. But at the same time, when they showed the video footage of Wanda storming into S.W.O.R.D. or whatever, and you see Vision, she never left with Vision's corpse. So it makes me wonder, did Vision reanimate him and he can only exist within the hex, or is this like a different version of Vision? And somewhere his body still exists, and she didn't actually, like, looks like she didn't take it. Like, you know.
And maybe that's why they weren't all that concerned about saving him.
Yeah.
You know, because S.W.O.R.D. had no interest in, like, helping him at all. They were like, oh, let's see what happens, you know?
Exactly. So it's like, you know, answered some questions, but then kind of raised a lot of other questions about Vision for me, especially too when you watch the episode in the beginning. Like, Vision's become more and more suspicious. Before, it's like he played his role, but now he's kind of, a lot of this episode went against like the grain. Every episode you find out kind of more and more people are like aware that they're in a sitcom and kind of are breaking the conventional rules of the show. And including Vision, where Vision played along a lot more in the earlier episodes and was kind of oblivious. And in this episode, it's like he knows something's up. And then there's times where you see the concern on his face, and then it just like switches on. And then he's like the character Vision in the show and smiling and cracking the jokes. And part of me doesn't know whether that's him doing that or if it's like Wanda getting in his, like, he's fighting against Wanda in his head to be that character. So he kind of is breaking away, but then just like Agnes kind of gets sucked back in to being the character. And from being in that world so long, doesn't, like, it's like kind of just like graining on them.
Yeah, which is interesting, though, because there's now three characters that clearly operate outside of the rules. Pietro and both kids.
Yes.
Like, Wanda can't control them. She's not directing them in any way. But they're doing what they want to do, like, at all times. And so those three characters have become, like, the most interesting to me. Like, who are they, really?
Well, yeah, and that's what's interesting about Pietro is we kind of found out he has some memories of the mm-hmm. MCU, like dying in the street and stuff. He has those memories of her actual brother, but he also, it's like from like their childhood memories and stuff. Well, one, him dressed up as Nick Fury as a kid on Halloween was hilarious. But it's like he has these other memories that like aren't actual memories that I guess were just kind of implanted to kind of fill in the gaps. And it's like on some levels she knows that it's like she spent like knows that it's not her real brother, but at the same time, it's like I almost think same with her, like her and Agnes. I think it's just they've been in the hex so long that it's like they don't really know how long they've been in there, and it kind of clouded their judgment between like what's real and what's not real to the point where it's like they know stuff isn't right, but it's like they can't really put a finger on like. She knows he looks different, but she can't really pinpoint why he looks different.
Totally.
And that's what, with Vision too, that's kind of what interested with me about, like, the kids were born in the Hex, and it's like, I don't know if they can actually leave the Hex like Vision, or it's like, if the Hex were to disappear, if the kids would also disappear, which kind of makes me think that the fact that she expanded the Hex, that's something that we hadn't seen before either. It makes me kind of wonder if the end of this is going to be her fully expanding the Hex to where it just covers the entire world. Mm-hmm. Because the time periods are increasing. Like, we're already, like, getting, like, close to the 2000s. So eventually, by the end of this, it's going to catch back up to where we currently are in 2021. So it makes me wonder if eventually that's going to be the end. It's just her expanding the Hex to where it covers everything. And by doing that, it's basically gonna unlock like the like it's already kind of unlocking the mutant gene in Photon. So it's making me wonder if like that's how Vision and like the kids are gonna exist outside the Hex if just everything is the Hex.
And then now it's a everyone is rewritten on the molecular level, and now there's mutants. Yeah, totally.
Exactly. So that's kind of where I feel like it's going. What about you, Zach?
I kind of am with you. I can see playing like that. I feel like there's totally, like, the circumstantial evidence around Mephisto is getting bigger and bigger. And it's funny because, like, two episodes ago, I had dropped it. I'm like, no, they're not going to do that. That's okay. That's seems kind of crazy. But now the way the kids are coming into the fold and, you know, it with Agnes fully in a witch costume.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, that was subtle. So nice. Okay. I like it. But with the Agatha Harkness rogue agent being in play here, and then, I still come back to like the Stork, you know, being something she couldn't control, Senor Scratchy, aka Mr. Scratch, you know, like the little evidence for Mephisto being involved, what Pietro even says in this episode, like something like, isn't this place just fun as hell or something like that? You know, like it in the episode was another like, oh, that's a red flag. Okay.
That was one of the other funny things. There was a lot of really good one-liners and stuff in this one, like the Kick-Ass line. The fact that him and Pietro were both in Kick-Ass was great. And then when he's like, well, your husband can't die twice, even though he totally did die twice.
Yes, exactly. So. Oh, the thing I thought that we haven't mentioned yet that I thought was creepy as hell was essentially how the further away you get from Wanda in the town, it's like people are just stuck.
Yeah.
It's like
so they're just kind of like frozen there.
it's like a video game that turns off parts of town to save cycles or something, you know? Like, it's like, yeah, and Vision wasn't supposed to be there, so no one was supposed to have seen it. So we'll just shut all that down. We don't need these people.
Yeah, you got that lady putting up the decorations who's just like crying because she's been doing the same thing for like God knows how long.
Yeah, stuck for hours doing that. Yeah, who knows? It's like, ugh, that's so creepy. And then and Pietro even like, oh, where'd you hide all these kids? Were they just sleeping in beds? And then now there's all these kids in town all of a sudden. Like he's like, no, I'm not judging. I'm sure you're doing it in a humane way. It's like, but still, like, that's really creepy. But at the same time, raising the point that, oh, Pietro knows exactly what's going on here. Like, he's not fooled on any level. So who the hell are you? You know, yeah. I totally think there's going to be a Mephisto reveal at some point. And I'm really curious to see how they wrap this up. It's one of those, like, every episode's the same way now. It ends, and I'm like, no, I want the rest. Just give me the rest of the story. Like, I'm ready for the rest of the story. Don't make me wait one more week. God damn it. And then next week, I'm going to be like, God, just finish it. Why am I waiting? This is ridiculous. But, man, I'm hyped. I want to see where this ends, and then I can't wait to see how they tie it into Winter Soldier and all that. So,
And that's what was funny, too, is that when you just said that was one of the other things I noticed, too, was in the intro when everyone was like, oh, like, you know, Wanda and whatever. It's like Pietro as himself, and yeah. He was the only one who was himself. And it's like, I'm pretty sure it's because he's not actually, like, supposed to be a part of the show, but mm-hmm. He just kind of got willed into the show, like, yeah. By accident by Wanda. Yeah, and he's not controlled or technically supposed to be there.
He's just there now. Yeah, totally. Well, all right, guys. I think we have a show.
Yay!
So we've done it. Justin, why don't you land this plane?
You know what, guys? Thank you for listening to another thirsty episode of the That Pixel Life podcast. We talked sodas. We talked poop. We talked WandaVision, and we talked Goop. If you would like to hear more WandaVision spoilers or any other theories you might have about it, we have a whole section on the Discord where we talk about it on a regular basis. I try to avoid it until, you know, until Saturdays or whatever, because I usually watch WandaVision Friday night. But there's a lot of cool theories and stuff going on over there, along with other just general video game topics. So feel free to join. Come check it out. Come chat with us. You can also chat on the Facebook group, which, you know, has been booming. It's That Bidet Life now over there, so you can go check that out. You can give us a review on iTunes if you feel so inclined, or check us out on Spotify, or, as Shannon mentioned, I think it was iHeartRadio.
Pandora.
It was one of those.
we're waiting for iHeartRadio to put us on.
So eventually, iHeartRadio.
Wheels are in motion. Wheels.
And Zach, if Robbie were here today, what do you think Robbie would say?
Robbie would say, hey guys, go be great.
And Major Melon sucks.
Put the knife down, Mike. Put the knife down. I wanna keep on going.